our devotion for tonight is entitled Abraham's Faith, and there are two thoughts from these verses, verse 8, an obedient faith, and verses 9 to 10, a steadfast faith. Life with God finds its test and rest in the believer's faith in God. To take God at His word and to live by His word is that blessed life that God has for our living. Although the physical sight may tell a contrary message with the spiritual insight that God gives to us, may the Lord help His people to learn to surrender their will to God's will and taste of the eternal good of abiding in God's will. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, meaning a shield, to all them that trust in Him. He takes care of you all the way as you walk with Him. For God is my strength, the Bible says, and He maketh my way perfect. This is the testimony of every man of God. God's plan to save sinful men scattered throughout the earth in the nation states since the time of their scattering at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 was to reach the nations by the witness of a nation, the nation of Israel. And the ultimate purpose of God was to bring forth the nation's foremost son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. All who look to Jesus' obedient life and death, fulfilling the Father's perfect will by whom He was sent, shall be saved from the eternal separation from God in hellfire and find eternal fellowship with God in heaven. Abraham was the man chosen of God to enact His redemption plan through the descendants of the man called Shem. Genesis 10:10-32. The foremost son of Noah, the man of faith, was saved together with his family by the ark, in which he, by entering in, condemned the living in his generation to God's judgment for spurning God's gracious plan to save sinful men in Genesis chapter 6 to chapter 9. So you see, God gave the global flood because the heart of man was wicked continually. And after the cleansing, you find that the nature that is inside him was still not fully dealt with, and the problem was not fully solved. It came back again, and God had to enact another plan. Genesis 10 begins with the Tower of Babel, when God had to confound the languages of the people because they were all seeking to live their own life in rebellion against the God who had created them. And so you recall last week we studied the life of Noah, and we spoke about the Chinese character of Chuan, how God saved men. And this record gives to us a historical perspective that God will not leave sinful men without hope and help. He will always reach out to sinful men. And that is the comfort, that's the consolation that we have from God. And from Genesis chapter 12, you see how it begins with the call of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 10, or Genesis chapter 11, you will see from chapter 10 onwards, in Genesis chapter 11, you will see how God gave the genealogy of the descendants of Shem, the godly line, after the cleansing of the flood during Noah's time, to begin a new generation of God's people through this man Abram or Abraham, to live. God calls him to live that life of faith. A great test to uproot his family and to travel for more than 800 miles across the fertile crescent of Mesopotamia, from living a comfortable city life to live a nomadic life in the land of Canaan, to fulfill God's plan to make a nation of his own people, Israel, who will be the recipients of his lively oracles, the laws of God, for the blessing of all society of people through the ages by these good laws. And you see, this plan will be fulfilled, not in one day, but it will take 500 years for this plan to be fulfilled. And if you look at life in itself, we are very impatient people. We want to see, we want instant gratification. But you see that life with God is totally different. It requires much patience. It requires much waiting upon God. It requires much looking to God. Right? The self will be impatient. The self would want to hurry. The self would want to move and draw up its own comfort and plan. But God's will, God's plan is more than, considers more than what we could ever consider with our finite, fallen mindset. And therefore God has to renew our hearts, renew our minds, in order that we may learn how to follow him. And Abraham had to learn that lesson. God uprooted him. He was called to live this life of faith throughout his lifetime. And as it were, not receiving, without receiving the tangible tokens or rewards of his faith. Abel, the first patriarch which we have studied, saw God's approval in receiving his blood sacrifice. And Noah was saved by the visible reward of the ark. But for Abraham, his reward was to be the promise that God gave to him in his word of a future reward beyond his earthly life. Can you live your life in the light of such a promise? In fact, we are called to do so in our time. And God wants us to learn how to live that obedient life. Verse 10 of our text says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We, in our lifetime, are given the promises of God, life with God in the heavenly Jerusalem, the Bible says, that will descend from heaven. This world that we live in will ultimately be destroyed, as God revealed to the Apostle Peter, who, like Abraham, lived a life of faith and finally had to face a martyr's death for faith and salvation in Jesus Christ. Abraham, well, lived to a ripe old age. Peter died a martyr's death. It is recorded that he was crucified on the cross by his master, terribly. But he wrote this before he died. This was the last epistle. This was the last words of a man going to the gallows. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the Lord is saying to us that there is a judgment that is coming. And Peter is writing this at the end of his life in order to help him. That God has shown to him the glory to come in order to help us to show how we ought to live our lives by these promises that God will give to us, that this world that we live in is not a place for us to build a permanent home. That's why Abraham was asked to live a nomadic life, to sojourn. The word sojourn means to live in temporary shelter. Imagine him together with his wife having not a proper bed to lie down to sleep every night for all the better part of his life, since 75 years old, when he would leave Canaan, and together with his wife, no proper kitchen to cook the food, no proper comforts of life. And God had called him that he would do these things. Well, he looked for a city, our text tells us. And he was obedient because he understood what God is saying and what God is doing. And his life was transformed, his life was changed. He was willing to be patient to do the will of God. But Peter says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up. So the Lord tells us that if you build your barns for this life, you're going to be disappointed. If your perspective is not changed, your last is not crucified to the cross, and you're still holding on to this earthly life, you're going to suffer loss, and you're going to suffer great disappointment. It will affect you. It will affect the future of your family. It will affect, ultimately, your eternal destiny and reward. Abraham knew what was at stake for him. He understood what God was doing, and he was a part of God's redemption plan, just as we do in our time. How is it that those who come for prayer meeting don't come anymore? How is it that those who look to God and now do not walk with him anymore? How sad is it? Yes, it's true. But should we be discouraged? No. We must persevere, carry on to do the will of God. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, in his long suffering, gives us time to wake up, time to see the eternal things. These are the same promises that we receive out of God's word and called to lift up as Noah did, as Abraham did. What distinguished Abraham's faith? It was an obedient faith, and it was a steadfast faith. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Genesis 12 gave the record of Abraham, or Abraham's obedience. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, or Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Wow. He took God's promises seriously. He took God's call and command seriously. He did not hesitate. When God revealed to him his will, God also showed to him the rewards to come. He has not received them, as it were, physically, when these promises were given, but by faith, these rewards were already his. And that is the kind of life that God wants us to have also. To see and understand what God is doing, and to be a part of God's great plan of redemption to save a dying world. What a glorious plan. You won't understand what glory is until the day when you stand with the Lord before His throne. You will not understand that glory, but by His word, He showed to us that glory to come. And God would want us to understand what He is doing and to obediently follow. Abraham did not question God and or refuse to obey God's call to leave the comfort of his homes, but obeyed, not knowing where he was going. So, life with God is such that He does not reveal to us everything in one shot, but we are led along the way, step by step. He will not leave the traces of the path that He wants us to walk without showing us the way. He will always show us the way. And it's up to us, having seen it, to yield ourselves to His leading. So God led him step by step from place to place to do His will, with no visible fulfillment of God's promises to him in his lifetime. And that is faith. He trusted God to direct his way by his revealed word, and he took God at his word and faltered not. It was a faith, an obedient faith, that enabled him to endure suffering and hardship and even privation. You know how tough it is to travel under the hot desert sun, 800 miles, to go to a place that you don't even know where, if it really exists. God says, go there. He has to make that journey. You know, it's not like today. You have a GPS. You have the whole world by satellite, and you can tell, you know, where you are going, what is here and there and these things. But at that time, he had to take God at his word. God had to show him, and he had to move in his direction. And it is the same for us today. God does want us to walk with him, and that walk with him can involve suffering loss. Loss in this life. And he knew, Abraham knew, he was walking in the center of God's will for his life because God directed him in clear ways. This Sunday, we're going to take these verses from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And last Lord's Day, we were studying verses 1 to 4. My son, forget not my law. Let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Did Abraham receive God's peace? Of course. God's peace was with him. Was there struggle? Of course he struggled. He struggled very hard. But he knew that God was doing him good. And he was willing to yield his will, his fallen will, to the perfect, excellent, unmistakable will of God. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Did not God say to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When you walk with God, follow his commandments, you receive the blessings of God. We gave the example of Daniel during the time of the Babylonian and the Persian Empire. Did Abraham struggle to obey God's will? We can see that he did. If you read the account of Abraham's life, it is not for us to do that. It's not a biography. But here, you see, we want to learn how faith gave him the victory. How he took hold of God's promises. And Jesus says to us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, how have you been living your life? Is it a life that is walked in the center of God's will with self-denial and the carrying of the cross? Paul says, he understood what Jesus was mentioning here in these verses in Matthew 16, 24 to 27. For he wrote, he says, in testimony, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. He says, I am crucified. I die daily with Christ. I nail my lust and affection to the cross daily. And unless your affections and your lust are nailed to the cross, your fears are nailed to the cross, you cannot live this Christian life victoriously. And God wants us to nail the lust, the flesh, to the cross daily. And Paul denied himself, and he was willing to nail himself, the fallen flesh, to the cross daily to follow Christ. He knew that the flesh profiteth nothing. And so he wrote, but what things will gain to me, those things I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He knew and he understood that there is a price to pay in godliness, and he was willing to pay the price. You see, when we are not willing to pay the price, we want to take one foot here and one foot there, we are going to sink, because our life will not be wholesome. We cannot. It will explode. It's a time bomb. It's a matter of time before your life will explode. The Lord wants you to be serious with him. Don't play a fool with God. Don't play a fool with God. You think you can win, you're going to lose big time. And you're going to suffer great loss. And because you're unwilling to crucify the flesh and the affections, you will suffer loss. And so may the Lord grant to us the wisdom to see. Because it's not, the loss is not now. You will feel the loss now. Well, if you would be willing to lose now, you would receive the gain later. But if you are unwilling and you hold back, well, you would face the loss later. Dear friends, can you see the preciousness of this life of faith with God? Or are you not surrendered to God in particular areas of your life? One foot with the Lord, the other foot in the world. This is a dangerous and precarious state to be. Danger is right ahead. Very serious. Abraham was promised an inheritance from God, which will only be fulfilled in the life of his descendants more than 400 years later. And God said to him, Genesis 15, and he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. So God all the way told Abraham what he was doing. You see, God will not leave us to walk blindly. He will always show us enough to help us to see what his will is. But if our affections are not crucified with Christ, we will not see. And we will suffer loss by our indecision, by our unwillingness to crucify the flesh. And time is running out. The cross that Abraham had to bear was to live a stranger's life in a strange land, and to die a stranger in the land of his inheritance. He will not see the establishment of the nation of Israel in his lifetime. He was fulfilling only a part of God's overall plan of redemption, but he lived in obedience to the promises of God. So are we. We are asked to be a testimony. We are asked to go and give the gospel. Well, you may sow the seed. You may not see the end result. Someone else will reap. But the Lord says, go in faith. Be obedient to the work. An obedient faith, verse 8. A steadfast faith, verse 9 to 10. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as a stranger, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Tabernacles means tents, temporary shelter, no comfort, little comfort, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. There is an anchor to Abraham's faith. It was the future promises of God to him that he would dwell with God in the new heaven and the new earth. Abraham understood the consequences of spurning God's word, and the steadfast faith of Abraham in obeying God all his life, sojourning in Canaan. You see, if you are under the hot sun, how long can you last? He has to be under the hot sun all his life, you know. More than 75 years. Imagine the kind of steadfastness, the kind of patience that God brings in the heart of this man. Every day he would probably be struggling inside him to say, I want to get out of this place, I want to get out of this place. You know, it's so unbearable. I'm here in the middle of nowhere doing nothing. What am I doing? Do you have that kind of a struggle? I believe Abraham had that kind of a struggle in his heart. And he had to steel his own heart to know that this is the will of God. This is what God wants me to do. And this is what God would want me to demonstrate. His faith will be an encouragement for all posterity. He demonstrated his faith by his willingness to suffer, to sojourn in Canaan, his family suffering together, demonstrated his conversion, and proved his faith by his works, a willingness to suffer loss for Christ, receiving by it eternal rule. See, there's no two way about it. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow. If you're not willing to bear the loss, you want to cheat, then you won't succeed. The Lord will make sure you don't succeed. So Paul says, he was willing, together with Abraham, to esteem the eternal more than the physical. He will not gain his little earthly kingdom and forsake the greatness of the eternal kingdom. He was willing to see the eternal and the value of it more than the physical comforts of this life. So Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seateth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify. The word mortify means put to death. Kill. Kill your flesh. Therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now are ye also put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God that created him. The Lord wants us to live that new life. If we are not willing to crucify the flesh, we don't solve our problem at the root of it. We don't crucify our flesh, and we allow our sin to continue to rest in us, there will be no change. We have been given more of the eternal things than Abraham did through the revelation of God in the Bible. Shall our faith not be more steadfast than Abraham's? Will we not set our affections on the heavenly things, put priority in the things of God rather than the things of this earthly life? May we understand the stakes involved. We are able to say, no, I'm willing to suffer loss for Christ's sake, I'm willing to bear the loss. Wow. That was what Abraham did. And he suffered that loss not for a short period, throughout his lifetime. That was the steadfastness of his faith. And what gave him the strength to be so steadfast? Because he was looking at the prize ahead of him. Just as Paul said, he was looking for the prize that was ahead of him. It was a goal that propelled him to live his life the way God wants him to. Same thing Peter says to us in his last words. You remember? He tells us, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ye ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. We are willing to be patient. We are willing to suffer for God. Here we have put for us what heaven is like in our weekly on the 17th January 2016. We spoke of the doctrine of hell and the doctrine of heaven. How hell is such a frightening place. Place of unquenchable fire. Place of memory and remorse, of thirst, of misery and pain, and frustration, of anger, separation, undiluted divine wrath. Place prepared for Satan and his host. Well, if we haven't seen what God is saying to us, then it will be sad. But the Lord wants us to see. The Lord wants us to have Abraham's faith and to receive Abraham's reward. Thank God for Abraham's faith. A faith that was obedient and a faith that was steadfast. May these be our portion too. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy in showing us thy grace, what this earthly life ought to be lived in the light of the things to come. Father, we pray that thou crucify our affections and our lusts and our fears. Give us faith, Lord, to follow thee. Give us the restfulness of heart to know how we can order life so that it will indeed bring peaceable fruit in the lives of the people around us, in our workplace, in our home, in the church. Lord, may thou bless us. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.